Welcome to Jurassic Time. I am your host, Paolo, and today we will be taking a very special look at the behind the scenes of the Lost World Jurassic Park. I have been fortunate enough to be interviewing Ken Lassig, who was on set for the film as one of Steven Spielberg's personal guests. Now, let's get this movable feast underway. All right, so first off, why don't you introduce yourself, you know, your interests and productions that you've worked on?
Sure. My name is Ken Lassig. And the first production I worked on was Primal Fear. And the last production I worked on, well, I can't really say I worked on it, was The Rock. I just delivered camera equipment. The last physical production I worked on was The Birdcage with Gene Hackman and Robin Williams.
Ooh, wow, nice.
I've worked on quite a bit of productions, but it's not like they call you up and say, hey, we need you. It's just, I get the random phone calls and I show up. I've been on to assist The Hunt for Red October, Deja Vu with Denzel, The Lost World, which we're here to talk about. You know, I didn't write it down. There's so many. I've worked on talk shows. Mm-hmm. I've worked on back in the day, it was called the Arsenio Hall Show.
Oh, wow. Really? That's awesome.
Oh, you've heard of him.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I'm a bit of an old soul. I know a lot of the like shows from like the 80s, 90s.
Yeah. Well, my sister was worked that show. She actually, because of her, she got me on a job over at Paramount, and she became an editor at TMZ for over a decade. And with John Tesh, Lisa Gibbons, I mean, for God's sakes, they're friends. They call each other all the time.
Nice.
But it was because of my sister that I was able to get into the industry. And then after a few years at Paramount, it wasn't working out for me financially. I was a real estate appraiser, real estate agent when I was 18. I bought my first house at 18. I was accustomed to making good money, and Paramount paid $5 an hour.
Jesus.
And to drive to Paramount, it took me, several hours. And to drive back after my shift and then, taxes being taken out of $5, you can imagine back in, 87, that was just devastating. So I hung on as long as I could. I made money off of tips. I gave personal tours to executives. They tipped me quite well. That would offset the negative check balance. But nevertheless, I worked on quite a bit. I just never wrote them down. I've had the pleasure of meeting Robin Williams and Gene Hackman at the same time on The Birdcage, while Gene Hackman and Clint Eastwood, whom are good friends, were getting a haircut together. I mean, I've had some, there's been some incredible moments that I've had. And it's, I've never, ever, there's only two people I've met almost everyone that one could ask to meet for, but I never, ever met anyone that I truly wanted to meet until it was Steven Spielberg. And that was in November of 96. I believe I sent you the crew card picture.
Yes, you did. It was really cool, like having to see that.
Yeah. And it's really funny how that came about. My stepfather was a port engineer, and everybody who knew me knew there's two people I wanted to meet, George Lucas and Spielberg.
Nice.
And my stepfather came up to me, and he was friends with the owner of Southwest Marine. And he said, I have a surprise for you. I said, what could that be? He didn't tell me. He just said, you're going to take off work tomorrow, and you're going to meet me at the shipyard. And I said, okay. I did so. And he said, oh, wear your Panavision jacket and bring some of your favorite Spielberg stills. I said, are you kidding me? He said, we'll see you then. And so the next day I showed up, and I was escorted to this room up a short, you know, stairwell, and right in front of me was Steven Spielberg. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And the owner of the shipyard walked over, whispered it in his ear. I kid you not, the man stopped everything he was doing. And he walked over to me and he shook my hand. He says, a pleasure to meet you, Ken. I said, the pleasure is all mine. And he signed some autographs, et cetera. He signed a still of Jaws, which I'll take a snapshot and send to you, and some stuff he did from Empire of the Sun, and asked me whom I worked for. And I told him Panavision and Paramount. He said, is that where you got that jacket? I like it. And I said, okay. Well, I slowly took it off myself. And I said, I want you to have it. If you're someone who's given me hours of pleasure watching movies, I want you to have my jacket. And he gave me a hug and he said, you know, thank you very much, but I think I have connections to get one. And he gave me this wink. And I thought that was pretty cool. You know,
that is pretty cool.
He, from the moment I met him, I felt like I knew the man, that we were old friends. He was so comfortable. He wore the same thing every day, blue jeans, a flannel shirt, except in the evening, and this blue cap that I'll send you a photo of. I think he must have had that cap or multiple caps for decades.
Was it the one that was in that photo you had posted on like Twitter like a while back?
Correct. Yeah, that's the cap.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, either he has several of them or he just loves the cap.
He just takes really good care of it.
Yeah, some one of the two. And then he was filming a scene with Jeff Goldblum meeting his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the scene where they call Jeff Goldblum on the speaker. You know, you're wanted, sir. And it continues and continues. And then he cut the scene and I rolled back. I was behind him anyway. And they look at the dailies. They look at the shot before they continue. And he looked at the shot. And because I worked for Panavision, I was full of excitement. And I said, oh, there's too much diffusion in that shot. There was water coming off the floor, which you can't see in the film. And then I thought, why in the hell am I talking? Why in the hell did I just say that? And he turned around and looked at me. And because it looked very heavenly, looked too bright because of the lights coming off the water. And he redid the scene, another shot. And I, at that point, I was just like, okay. Well, he thanked me and I thanked him for his time. And as I turned around, he said, Ken, what are you doing for the next couple of weeks? And I said, nothing. And he said, would you like to come back and join me? Well, sure, Mr. Spielberg. He said, I look forward to it. And so for the next 2 weeks, I came back to Southwest Marine, which you can see in when the boat comes in, which is, we'll talk about in a second. When the ship comes in, the SS Venture, and the T-Rex jumps out and causes destruction. There's one shot you'll see, Southwest Marine. Well, that is the premier movie location for, they film Lethal Weapon 4 there. They filmed the film with, Eraser with Arnold. They filmed so many films there. They had a couple of weeks later, I went into the office to thank the man. And they had pictures from all the movies that have been there. And there must have been, the walls were full. I can't even guess. And before it was Southwest Marine, it was Bethlehem Steel. So they've been filming films there forever. And it was really interesting. It was my first example on the Hunt for Red October. That's filmed in a soundstage. The set was on a gimbal. It would tilt. But to be on a large movie set that's outdoor, let me give you an example. If anyone's taken the Universal Studios tour, they can see the jet crash. They've kept that there. But to see the scale and detail that they put into this before they shoot a scene is just remarkable. And once they put everything down on a set, then no one is permitted to walk on that set or touch anything. because they don't want a continuity error. They don't want, as an example, in the old TV series, like Columbo, et cetera, he'd be smoking a cigarette and they'd keep the camera rolling. And the next shot it would cut to, the cigarette would be done or it'd be lighting a new one. And that's why they don't want anyone going on to those sets. They don't want them moving anything. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. It's interesting. I didn't know that they just stopped everything, made sure no one touched it. I just assumed it was like redressed later.
No, they even mark certain objects. They mark them with chalk. And so once they dress a large hot set, such as the dock where the SS Venture comes in, no one's allowed on there unless they're talent or needed crew. Mm-hmm. And they know what to do. They know not to touch anything of that sort. But mistakes happen, I'm sure. I can tell you that on that set, how they pulled that off was there was two docks with two SS Ventures. And one was in pristine condition. And the second one was after the T-Rex had escaped and it had upturned limousines and cars and smoke and all that. And they filmed all the scenes on the pristine set where there was no upturned limos, et cetera, et cetera. And then they moved on to the second set. And then that's when they filmed the scenes after the T-Rex had escaped. And the only time that I was not next to Spielberg was when he did close-ups. When he did close-ups of Jeff Goldblum, and I think his name is Adam Karloff. He was the Joker in Full Metal Jacket. You know, the corporate bad guy in Lost World?
Oh, Arliss Howard. That's the actor's name.
Yes, thank you for correcting me. Yeah, he's married to Deborah Winger, what have you. Mm-hmm. The only time that no one was permitted around him was for the close-ups. But I could hear him over the speaker because I was sitting in, I think, Kathleen Kennedy's director chair because she wasn't there. And I could hear and see some things. But the man doesn't do but three takes. And I didn't see a fourth take. And that just shows you everything is storyboarded out. I mean, he knows what angle, he knows what shot. The storyboards were in abundance. They're on like a painter's palette, you know? And they know every shot, how it's going to be, how it's going to, you know, go down before they shoot it. And like I said, the only time that he did the scene where Goldblum whispers in his ear, "Now you're John Hammond," I think that's what he says.
Yes, exactly.
That was a scene that, I don't know, it was getting cold. Everybody was like 1:30 a.m., 2 o'clock, et cetera. That scene took three shots. And then they cut. And then Spielberg came back. I recall, you know, I got to tell you, let me back up some. When Spielberg comes on set, okay, you have several hundred crew members. And they all have mics. And you can hear these mics echo. He's here. He's here. And I got to tell you, at first it's eerie, and then it's like electrifying. He's here. And they, you know damn well who they're talking about. You know, he's here. And then he pulls up, and he gets to his director's chair in a little golf cart. And he pulls up, and every night he wore, in the evening when it was cold, a green military-like jacket with mink coloring. And the cap that we talked about. Mm-hmm. And he'd say, "Hi, Ken. Good evening, Mr. Spielberg," you know. And then he'd kind of, you know, do his thing. And the most interesting scene I saw filmed was the T-Rex escaping, which was supervised by Dennis Muren. And what they did, Dennis Muren had his assistant hold up a piece of wood that was about 8 to 9 feet tall. And on it was a T-Rex set, drawing black ink on a post. And they had about 10 guys with laser pointers. And what this guy did is he would run out of the ship and run down the dock. And they would accordingly, they had, like I said, limousines and what have you, that already, they would pull cars on cables. So when the guy ran through, they'd pull cars and what have you, not the limousine that I saw, but the other cars and what have you. And they'd have a stuntman tied by wires that pull them into the cold, into the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, they'd do that like twice. And I'm sure they, well, no doubt, they superimposed the dinosaur running in sync with them pulling cables on cars and what have you.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And Dennis Muren came up to me and I said, "Hey, Mr. Muren." And he's like, "Hey." And he came off as a very kind of laid back, highly intelligent hippie. Yeah. <You know? laughs> The guy's got his hair split. It's bleach white, like mine is now, and it's parted like in the center, and it's going over his shoulders. And I'm like, really? You know, I'm thinking to myself, really? Wow, what's a trip? Nice to meet you. And you know, Janusz Kaminski, I have to tell you, I knew of him, but to meet him, he wasn't very talkative.
Hmm.
He was very, the wheels were turning upstairs. You know what I mean? He had shots to set up, things of that nature. And you could tell, you know, he was working on that. I spoke with him briefly. He signed my book.
Awesome.
As I left, one of the crew members on the crew said, "Hey, Ken, you know, it's been real cool hanging out with you." And they gave me a movie prop, and it was a blueprint of the Jurassic World set of the ships. It's got to be in the garage at this point. And we'll be able to get it. It's quite large. You know, as I told you before, you know, I'm 58. Okay. This happened years ago. The older I get, it's not the stuff I collect. It's the memories, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what means a lot to me is the memories. And I can tell you, at 58 years old, that the first time I met Spielberg and we took that photo together was one of the highlights of my life next to my son being born. You know, my son being born, of course, being first. But, I mean, my God, that doesn't get better than that.
Honestly, yeah, that is amazing because it's like you're meeting essentially an icon, like someone whose name is going to be remembered for generations. And you are one of like few people who got to like work up close with him, to talk with him. That's something that is just as an achievement on its own is amazing. And like, and to have that memory is just, I can't even put it into words. That is just amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And I have to thank you because, you know, I kind of forgot about it. You know, I let it all go. And then I posted the photo on social media and you're like, Hey, we started chatting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, I got to look back into that. And then because of you, I found photographs that I didn't even own, that aren't even developed. And I held one up to the light. And one of them is of the Jeeps. It looks like Jeff Goldblum, but you know, the Jeeps, by the way, were the SUVs, the Mercedes-Benz, Ben's made, that were, I think, first time ever seen.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I'm not sure. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but they kept those damn things under wraps, and when they had to unwrap them, oh, I busted out with my camera.
Oh my God, that is awesome! Because those are like my favorite cars in all the movies. So just to see more photos of that, I'm like genuinely like shaking with excitement.
I'm pretty definitive. It's pretty definite that I have a couple of shots of those. And also there is
I think it's at Universal now. There's an elongated bus, it's accordion style,
mm-hmm.
that they use in the film. And I was told not to go over there by the first AD. His name was Sergio, and he was kind of a protector of all things, if you will. He, mm-hmm. we didn't get along, but we did not get along. And, you know, he always was in my face, you know, somehow. And so if he told me not to do something, I did the opposite. So I did walk through that elongated bus. And I don't know, I can't say that I have a picture of it, but I did walk through it. And I can tell you that everything in the bus, or whatever you want to call that, was functioning. The lights would light up. They had some, like a third of them were on. And that was pretty fascinating too. And then to watch it on the big screen, of course, I was like, wow, that's what it looks like, you know, like an A production, big set. That's what it looks like. And it looks about the same, you know. Jeff Goldblum is tall and lanky and just like he looks. You know, it's Julianne Moore is the only one who I shied away from. I think she was going through some problems.
She was having a divorce at the time, which is actually why she took on the role, from what I've heard.
Yeah, that being the case, that makes sense, because she was definitely there, but not there. You know, something was grabbing her, but I did not approach her. You know, I don't want to disturb anyone. I don't want to anger anyone. And she was she'd do her part. She'd do her speaking scenes. And then she would go into her trailer, you know.
Mm.
And she wouldn't hang around. Like one time I said, Mr. Spielberg, are you thirsty? And he goes, yeah, I can go for a soda or a glass of water. I said, well, I think I'll get you both. And I forget what he told me for soda, but. And I brought them both to him. He's like, thank you. I'm like, no, thanks. Yeah. We sat down. I didn't kiss his butt per se. There was no need to. The man is genuinely he's a true gentleman. You know, he doesn't require that. And to this day, he's my hero. I've met a lot of movie stars, a lot of directors, but I've never been starstruck. And, only with Spielberg and Sean Connery, and as that occurred.
Oh, nice. For Sean Connery, too, that's really, really cool.
Yeah, I met Sean Connery on the set of The Hunt for Red October, and I was in friends with a costume designer. Have anything else I can answer for you?
I have a few questions. Some of it is, like very in the nitty gritty, just because, like, you know, us fans, we have to know everything. And then some of them are a little more broad, if that's all right.
I'll give you the best shot. Give you your best shot. I'll give you my best answer.
Awesome. Okay, so for starters, so was there any sort of indication on set for the original ending, since the original ending for The Lost World was supposed to be at that village and they're going to have this extended like chase sequence. There's going to be like pterodactyls involved. Was there any sort of sign of that, or was it just purely the San Diego sequence?
Purely what the San Diego sequence.
Okay.
There was no discussion of alternate endings, things like that. And nor did I ask them, you know,
mm-hmm.
because I didn't want to be interfering. I was only there on an invite back from Mr. Spielberg. And I didn't want to interfere anyway, you know, with that.
It's totally fair and completely understandable. If I were in your position, I would have probably been the same way. Just like always be in the background, like speak when spoken to, that sort of thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Did you manage to see any of the miniatures for the San Diego sequence? Because there's two big ones, one being the boat actually crashing, and then the San Diego Park. Like that amphitheater, did you manage to see those or?
No, none. I saw, the closest I saw was a man with a board with a T-Rex head drawn in a Sharpie with lasers pointed to it. That's it.
Okay.
Nothing like the miniatures, nothing like that.
Okay. And for the locations, because you said you were there for the workshop and the crash, were they the same set or were they two different ones?
There were multiple, actually. It was the scene, which was filmed in a shipyard, the inside on the second floor, where Jeff Goldblum is being paged, and then his daughter runs in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she does some kind of verbiage with him. I got cut from the gymnastic team, Dad, or something. I don't recall.
Yes, it's that, but, actually, exactly.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Well, I was there for that. And then the first shot of Jeff Goldblum was where I quirked inadvertently. There's too much diffusion in that shot.
Mm.
And I was like, whoops, I'll be gone quick. And then he turned to me and said, you know, as I left, what are you doing for the next couple of weeks? So there was that. And then below that were all the Mercedes and the long bus, mm-hmm. which I'm sure I have photos of, which will be coming your way.
They
were all sitting there. But I didn't see any guards, but, you know, I'm sure there was some car magazine trying to get on the, you know, there to take a shot of it. I don't know. I just went up and snapped the shot.
Nice, nice. And probably because, like, I actually bought a couple of magazines from the time, one officially from Mercedes, another one, like, a more generic brand, and they had a lot of photos and also concept art for those Jeeps.
Yeah, well, they were under wraps. As a matter of fact, one of the photos I'm going to share with you tomorrow, mm-hmm. I think I have a shot of one full Jeep, but the other one is, you can tell, are like wrapped or a third wrapped with like, looks like dark blue tarp, but we're only looking at the negatives right now. But they'll be coming your way, and I'm sure you'll be able to tell me what's going on.
Perfect. Do you remember what the name of the shipyards were for those two locations?
Yes, it was one. It's called Southwest Marine.
Mm-hmm.
It was previously Bethlehem Steel. It's still there, to my knowledge. Southwest Marine. All the scenes that I have mentioned were filmed at Southwest Marine. When Goldblum meets his daughter, that was filmed inside of one of the warehouses at Southwest Marine. If you watch the film, there's a tiny cut in it. You can also see Southwest Marine right there. And then the exterior, where the two ships were filmed at the docks at Southwest Marine.
Mm.
By the way, there is a the dry dock. They have a dry dock there. And many scenes from Eraser. Oh, I wasn't there for this, but I recognize it. My father told me, hey, they were over there filming Eraser. Interview with a Vampire, I guess Eddie Murphy film, which, no comment. Not a big Eddie Murphy guy. Mm-hmm. But... I mean, I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying I haven't watched it even. But many, many scenes. I'm sure if I Googled it, there's a history of movies that, you know. Eraser, the end, when Arnold confronts the bad guys, was filmed 50 feet away from where the ships are.
Oh, wow.
And when you see the engine light, and white and blue,
mm-hmm.
Attached to a wall. It's just a big lit sign, you know, signs that they had made. They attached it to the wall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's really that simple, which always made me think, why did they show Southwest Marine in the clip?
It was probably like a mistake.
Could have been. Yeah, but it's there for like 3-4 seconds.
Yeah, I'll definitely like honestly, right after this, I'm going to pop in the movie like on Blu-ray. I'm just going to stare at the screen and try to spot it.
Yeah, it's there. It's written Southwest Marine right up on the wall. Can't miss it.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, so my next question is, one of the famous plot holes, and I say plot holes in like quotations, in The Lost World was the death of the crew for the SS Venture. And there was evidence that there was supposed to be a planned sequence where the Rex is escaping and killing the crew on top and then getting trapped. Like, it's on storyboards and everything. Was that filmed while you were there, or was that not filmed? Because it would be on top of the boat.
Well, okay, I can tell you this. On top of the boat, there was a cage where the T-Rex was enclosed in, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it opened and shut. Okay, for 2 or 3 nights, they just filmed that with actors and actresses that I did not recognize up there. It was just dancing, you know, the cage opening and shutting. I'm like, what in the hell is going on? You know, so to answer your question, I don't know, but they did film a lot of stuff on the Venture with people that I didn't recognize that would have been like crew or something like that, that I couldn't figure out what the hell's taking so long.
You think it's possible it could be related?
Well, it would have to be. But if that's the case, it was left on the cutting room floor for The Lost World. Now, that's a good point, because I never was aware of that. And that would make sense, is why all the extensive filming went on for 3 nights, you know, it was on the Venture, you know, on the top of the Venture by the cage. And we're like, what in God's name is going on? I'm saying that to myself, because I didn't have anyone with me. So that is a possibility, but I couldn't tell you in concrete, because I was getting frustrated. I'm like, what is taking so damn long? Is it like a CGI thing that I'm missing? Because it was agonizing, actually. It was agonizing. And I'm not complaining, but I'm just telling you, when you're sitting there and it's, you know, 40 degrees and it's foggy and you're cold, you know, Spielberg wasn't next to me then. He was there. They were doing something, but I couldn't tell you. And I'm unaware about what you just told me, but they were doing something different that was never used. It did entail the cages going up and down at one point, the big white things.
Yeah.
That are two-sided.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Honestly, I think you may be the first person to ever confirm that that was filmed, or that it was potentially filmed. And that is huge.
Well, I tell you what, it would make sense, because 3 weeks for stuff going on this on top of the Venture, it didn't make sense. I'm like, good Lord, Spielberg gets everything done in 3 shots at the most. And now, after they do a shot, there's a setup time to get it all down again, you know.
Mm.
And that takes forever. But 3 days of something, you know, it's ironic that you mentioned it now, because now that would possibly mean that they had, like, they were going in a different direction. But I wouldn't know. I just saw the damn thing was opening and shut and moving on the Venture, you know. And it was like at one point, it was actually at one point I was like, God, I'm going to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just went on and on for 3 nights.
Well, oh, for sure. I'm going to send you those storyboards when I find them, because you definitely are going to want to see them.
Yeah. No, you have my curiosity peaked, I tell you, because that would fall in alignment with whatever the hell they were doing that was so hard. Because I got to tell you, he doesn't come to play with things being unplanned. He doesn't say, oh, let's do this. No. Everything's storyboarded out.
He's just a man with a plan, basically. Stick to the plan and that's it.
Like Hitchcock, yeah.
Do you have anything else from the production, like technical documents, scripts, call sheets?
No. At one time, I had a opportunity to have his director's chair, and I walked away from it. Yeah, well, we all have our regrets.
Now, for the last technical question, do you remember what type of cameras they were using on set for those sequences?
The close-ups?
All of them, like wide shots, close-ups. Like, what were the cameras used? Because, like, we really love to know this, like, details too.
Well, a lot of it will be in the photographs, but they're using Panavision.
Mm.
If you use 70 millimeter, I didn't see it.
I believe it's 35 millimeter.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only thing I saw, and I know that because I'm used to set the damn things up. I saw a 35 millimeter, and but, you know, Janusz Kaminski had multiple cameras going at one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the wide shots, I couldn't tell you. They had, oh, by the way, they did have helicopters flying over.
Mm.
So I don't know what they had in the helicopters, but the helicopters would fly over and over and over and over.
Was this for the San Diego, like, Rampage?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, because, like, in the movie itself, we see it, them tracking the wrecks, but I'm not sure if it was the final script or the one before, they actually had some sequences where we see the helicopters chasing the wrecks and the wrecks actually attack one. So it could be related to that?
No, it's different. No, I would implore you to watch it again. I think there is one flyover. I could be wrong, but double check that, yeah?
Yeah, no problem.
Now you're going to have me watching the damn movie again.
We'll both be watching it pretty much after this call.
Yeah, if I see the flyover, I'm going to call you up like at 2 a.m. You'll be at work, right? hey, there's a flyover at, you know, yeah, whatever, you know.
I mean, I won't be opposed to it.
Yeah, you know, I now you have me curious. There might be a flyover. Let's both check, yeah?
And now just for the fun question. So what's your favorite car in all the Jurassic franchise?
Favorite car? That elongated bus. I don't know. All the equipment, all the... because I was in it, you know.
Nice.
It has a special little touch. And by the way, last time I was there, it was 10 years ago, I think, or when my son was born. Let's see, that was 12 years ago. We took him when he was, I'm not sure. Never mind. But they still have the bus there.
Awesome. Now, what's your favorite dinosaur in the franchise?
A T-Rex.
Nice. Which one? The one from the first movie or Lost World?
No, the first one. I have there's something nostalgic about it. Which one looks better? Technology grows, you know. But there's something about the first one that's just magical. I mean, when we went and saw it at the theater, the awe that I was in was just, to this day, it's unmatched. The feeling of seeing that and going, oh, my God, it's just unmatched. Yeah, technology gets better. I just saw this not too great movie called Free Guy, and it's all CGI.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where it stops and begins. I do, but you know what I'm saying?
There's a lack of, even though it looks good, there's just a lack of physicality in it.
Right, right, exactly. There you go. And so for that reason, I'm going to stick with Jurassic Park. Now, in Lost World, our Jurassic Park, number three,
mm-hmm.
Jesus, you're like, what the hell? Yeah, it was great. But for me, one. Yeah. Because I remember sitting in the theater and walking out going, holy shit.
Now, who's your favorite character? So human character in the Jurassic franchise?
Samuel.
Nice, nice. A very good choice.
Yeah.
And finally, your favorite Jurassic movie?
Lost World.
Hell yeah. That's mine too.
Yeah.
It's a good answer.
Well, it has sentiment value to me. You know?
Yeah. And yeah, that's it. Like, if you have anything else you want to share, you have the floor, honestly.
Well, I'll just say this. Again, I'd like to reiterate that I've met a lot of people in my lifetime. I've met a lot of movie stars, a lot of directors, and without a doubt, unequivocally, that Steven Spielberg is definitely, hands down, the nicest man And I'm sure in 2 weeks he was having a bad day. The most down-to-earth, grounded person you could ever wish to meet. And I'm grateful to him. Although we've met several times after, I'll be ever for grateful to him for allowing me the experience, inviting me back to be by his side, which I was. I sat next to the man for 2 weeks. And when I closed my eyes one day, that's a memory that I'm sure will shine up in one of those white moments of your life. You know, I think that's it. Yeah.
It's amazing. And it's a really great way to like end things. So like, first off, just thank you for this talk. And honestly, I just, what you've given us for, and by us, I mean like the fans, like you've given us such amazing information and just like stuff that we're going to really hold close to our hearts. Like, cause these movies mean so much to us, and just like hearing stories about the production, like about Spielberg, and just getting to know even just a little bit more insight is just invaluable to us. And what you've given us, just even just in terms of talking, even beyond the photos, the blueprints, is going to be worth a lifetime of just conversations for just between fans.
Well, thank you. You know, you honor me today, because I'm real grateful and real happy to be able to spend this time with you and to share what I experienced. And I wish you all the best, and we'll be in touch. Okay.
Yeah. Sounds good.
All right. You take care of yourself, and I'll talk to you shortly.
Sounds good. And you too, take care of yourself as well.
Thank you. It's been real nice talking to you.
Thank you. It's honestly, the pleasure is all mine. This was an amazing chat. It's made my week. I guarantee it.
Thank you very much.
So once again, a big thank you for Ken for taking time out of his schedule to help record for the channel and be able to share his experiences on the set of The Lost World, Jurassic Park. If you enjoyed this interview, please leave a comment below and please subscribe to Jurassic Time. We will see you again next time.